Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 10th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two. And our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders are absolutely brilliant and one of the great solutions to restore the republic. To make America great again, we'll never do it unless we're a moral people. We'll never do it unless we insist on the checks and balances that our founding fathers absolutely put in place for our benefit. We got to really understand the traditions of our founders, why they stood for what they did and how they did it. And we can do the same, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. We stand against revolution. Go study history. Most of the time they're violent. And most of the time they don't turn out very well. But a restoration, a peaceful restoration, now that's something we can sink our teeth into. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. Friday, I was out of town. But a quick recap of Thursday's broadcast. We talked about this headline from Alex Jones's guest. Children have been kidnapped and sent to a, quote, slave colony on Mars. I don't know what Alex Jones is doing, but he thinks his radio show is just, I don't know, something for salacious news or something that's, you know, he doesn't even really believe in what he says, according to lawsuits. And I mean, it's just crazy. I don't even know what to say about that, but I'm disappointed in that kind of reporting, to say the least. Sam rejects Bitcoin in favor of honest constitutional gold and silver currency. We talked about Clive and Bundy talking about blacks. Are they better off as slaves? We clarified his comments there. Of course, we reject slavery, but we are saying with the slumlords of today, with the projects and the other housing situations they live in, with children growing up without fathers, men running around impregnating women, women literally married to the government for financing, is it a better scenario than it was? And I can't really decide which scenario is better. I can just say this. We certainly haven't done right by them. We certainly haven't let the free market take place. We certainly haven't given people dignity by the government creating a level playing field and then getting out of the way and letting the free markets take their rightful place. And so, you know what? You can beat up Clive and Bundy if you want to, but the truth is we've got to talk about who's a slave today. All of us have to work from, what, January through, like, April, May, just to pay our government so they can abuse us harder? Are we all slaves according to the IRS? Wow. 41 states, they say, are revolting against Donald Trump's voter fraud probe. That's what WorldNet Daily writes, and I think they're right. States are protesting and refusing to give information to the Donald. However, resistance to voter fraud panel requests is overstated. They're complying a lot more than we realize. That was hour one. Hour two. We had our guest on, Mr. Jeremy Corden, sales director from UPMA. That's the United Precious Metals Association. The reason I keep slipping and say Utah is because that's what it started out as, the Utah Precious Metals Association. Now it's the United Precious Metals Association. Anyway, the website to learn more and to get involved, upma.org. We talked about Mark Zuckerberg pushes for, quote, universal income. The guy's off his rocker. He wants everybody to get a government check. Mexico drug wars are heating up. We talked about that. We talked about many are talking about removing Pelosi from her position. It's all talk. Does the Trump administration really plan to get rid of Amtrak's long-haul service? We sure pray so, but I bet he won't. CNN tries blackmail. We talked about that quite a bit. Will CNN be on the chopping block? Again, more talk. Trump donates salary to Civil War battlefield restoration. Again, we're moving into a greater war scenario, folks. Every time we turn around, it's war, war, war. Hobby Lobby to pay a $3 million fine. I guess they have to forfeit ancient artifacts. There's just strange news going on everywhere, okay? But we covered it all. Thursday's broadcast. Now news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Welcome to the broadcast. Kurt Cosby's with me. Hello, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And Lowell Nelson from CampaignForLiberty.org with us as well. Welcome back, my brother.
Good to be with you, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, quick headline. When Hillary Clinton claimed 17 intelligence agencies agreed on Russia meddling in the presidential elections, she mentioned this in the third presidential debate, by the way, a host of media outlets, including the New York Times, all doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down, checked themselves, rated the claim as 100% factual. Now, 9 months later, every one of them admits that it was absolutely false. If that's not the biggest indictment of the mainstream press, I don't know what is. It wasn't one or two of them fell for it. It wasn't that they fell for it for a little bit. After they, quote, double, triple, quadruple checked, they still all came back and said it and said it and said it and perpetuated Hillary's lie. Now they're all admitting that it was false. That's an indictment of the whole news media. We rejected the claim when we heard it. We said it's not true, but now they're blatantly admitting it's false. What do you say to that, Lowell?
Well, it's fake news, Sam, right? I mean, they're always trying to beat up the alternative media, saying, you know, claiming that the alternative media promotes fake news. And, you know, maybe there are some outlets that do, but, wow, here's a grand example of the lamestream media producing fake news. And then not only do they have the gall to do that, but they have the gall to stand by it month after month. And then finally, when they don't have any legs left to stand on, as the theory gets busted and they have no leg to stand on, then finally they'll admit that, well, maybe we exaggerated a bit there. I mean, that's their modus operandi. Whatever fits the narrative, goes along with their purposes at the time, you know, that's what they're going to go with, because that's just who they are. I guess they've, you know, the honest journalism in this country, I'm sure there's some honest journalists, but the mainstream media, they don't cater to honest journalism. They simply want to put out there what's going to be on their political axe to grind. That's what they're out there grinding. I might hasten to say, Sam, that we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, that the Edward Snowden revealed in an interview with Ron Paul that certainly the Russians had the capability to hack the DNC if they wanted, just like all governments around the world have the ability to hack one another's internet systems and email systems, and certainly something as insecurely protected as the DNC email servers, I think that would be fairly simple to attack.
Well, and no one's saying that governments have not tampered with and attacked and manipulated elections. What the claim was is that all the agencies basically agreed that they were doing it and Donald was somehow involved is the thing, right?
Right. They wanted to pin this on Trump to make it like, he's not worth voting for president, like he's somehow, not trustworthy or somehow, dishonest, because he was in league with the Russians to tamper with the elections. I mean, that was the story, right? I mean, that's what they wanted us to believe so that fewer people would vote for Trump. Clinton's campaign was desperate. They knew that they were, even though all the liberal rags were saying that she was in the lead and sure to win, all the talking heads were saying, yep, Clinton's going to has this one in the bag. You know, I think their internal polling, I think they realized that they were way behind and that they needed to do something to stop the Trumper, and they just couldn't do it.
That may be true, but they lied for Hillary at the time. They've lied for Barack Obama at the time. They developed the term fake news. Their reputation is really on the chopping blocks as far as I can see. But now, as far as I can tell, the mainstream press has been covering for Donald Trump just the same as he did for Hillary. I know that sounds crazy. You're like, what, Sam? They attacked the Donald at everything. They're not covering for Donald. Oh, yeah? That isn't true. They attacked Donald because it's the latest political, circus theater going on. But But they're not really attacking the Donald on anything that matters. Okay? They love Donald Trump. Donald Trump loves them. They all work together. The proof in the pudding is they haven't given me any greater standing in the media, and I've been the most fair to Donald of anybody. Okay, there's been defenders of Donald that don't have news access at all. But he trashes CNN one day, loves them the next. Trashes the New York Times one day, loves them the next. Because they're covering for the Donald. We'll prove it to you in just seconds. An interesting headline, RonPaulInstitute.org, says this. Trump sends in the confiscation cops. Yeah, I kid you not. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, our guest.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, bottom line is I say the mainstream press is covering for the Donald big time. Especially when he reverses what he said on the campaign trail and puts in practice something entirely different. All right? Trump sends in the confiscation cops. RonPaulInstitute.org. A guy by the name of Adam wrote the article. And we're talking about gun confiscation in Chicago. Lowell, this is serious business, my friend.
It sure is, Sam. And parenthetically, we have to admit that because Trump has reversed his position on a number of key campaign promises, that is one reason why the mainstream media is covering for him. Had he stayed true to what he said, which was, in this case, it was, he's very supportive of the Second Amendment rights, and he is against gun control as a way to reduce violence in the inner cities. I mean, that was basically what he said. Had he stuck to that, then I'm sure the mainstream media would still be lambasting him over his positions. But because he's reversed himself so many times and so frequently on so many positions, I think that's why, the mainstream media is covering for him. Just like when, he dropped some bombs and shot missiles at Syria. Well, the mainstream media was all over that, saying, "Fantastic, man! We Trump's our new hero because he's doing what the neocons want done." And so the media just covers for that. But you brought up a great story here. We, and that is this gun confiscation in Chicago. Last year, believe it or not, Sam, through the summer of 2016, the Chicago police confiscated about one gun per hour, one gun every 59 minutes, statistically. And this summer, they're going to get some assistance from the U.S. government, which I think is a terribly unfortunate and serious development. This plan was developed during the Obama administration, and Trump is following through on it. His administration announced last week, Sam, that 20 additional BATF agents would be involved in what they are calling the Chicago Crime Gun Strike Force. Well, this is nothing new. Gun confiscation has been a project in Chicago for years. In fact, in 2012, just to give you a ballpark idea of how many guns they confiscate every year, in 2012, they confiscated 7,600 guns, 7,624 guns, and which, by the way, is more per capita than the number of guns confiscated in New York and Los Angeles combined. And so, basically, they're really going after it in Chicago. They're trying to shut down all guns and weapons and illegal firearms in Chicago. And what has happened in these years, Chicago has become one of the most dangerous and crime-ridden cities in the country. You know, I used to think that the District of Columbia was where the most gun crimes were committed, but Chicago now owns that number one spot. Well, what is an illegal gun, you might ask? Well, according to U.S. law, which, by the way, is, in my opinion, a serious infringement of the right of a citizen to defend himself, which right is guaranteed by the Second Amendment, according to U.S. law, fully automatic weapons and short-barreled shotguns, for example, they're what they are called illegal firearms. Never mind that such weapons are also very effective deterrents to domestic crime. Right, you have a short-barreled shotgun, some burglar breaks into your house, you're not going to miss with a short-barreled shotgun because the shot expands quickly, and you're going to have one surprise burglar on your hands, and he's going to want to get out of there just as soon as he sees that shotgun. Well, in Illinois, and remind me never to move there, gentlemen, if I ever get the hankering to do so. In Illinois, people are, in addition to the gun laws that the national legislature has passed, in Illinois, the state legislature says people are required to get what they call a firearm owner's ID card, called FOID, in order to legally possess a gun or ammunition. And you may not bring a gun into Illinois to sell, deliver, or transfer without an FOID card. And so they have basically national gun laws on top of state gun laws, and in the city of Chicago, city gun laws. Well, what did Trump promise to do during his campaign? We mentioned that just a bit earlier. He was criticizing gun control, saying it was not a solution to violence in the big city there. In particular, he declared that, quote, in Chicago, which has the toughest gun laws in the United States, they have more gun violence than any other city, end quote. He also said this, quote, I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment, end of quote. I have one word for him, hypocrite. Because here he is, less than a year later, sending a new strike force into Chicago to help police enforce their disastrous gun control law.
Now, let me add the point. This is not something that's already literally underway. It was started under Barack, but you're talking about a new task force. In other words, this is an extra effort, not just he hasn't got the opportunity to stop this one yet. They always like to defend the Donald and say, give him a chance. There's so many things to work on. That's all true. But this is actually a new effort and initiative that was not being done before, right?
Exactly right, Sam. And but he's following through on a plan which was developed during the Obama administration. These plans, folks, have been on the books for years. We're talking years they've been planning this. And they want to go into a city under the with the justification they're going in to clean up the city. They're being tough on crime. And what are they doing, really? Well, they are putting the nose of the camel under the tent. They want to give, they want to have a reason to send federal officials into a state or into a city to mop up, right? And this is just the beginning. This is basically a test case, in my opinion, Sam. If they can clean things up here, they can clean things up anywhere. Now, not only will they be sending BATF agents in, but they may, this may be a pretext or justification for, later on, sending military personnel into your state or into your city. That's the great danger here. I think it would be very naive of us, Sam, to think that Chicago will be the only city in which we will see federal officers assisting local local law enforcement officers in their efforts to control gun owners and gun ownership. This is, ladies and gentlemen, how tyranny creeps forward one small incremental step at a time. If federal officers can be sent into Chicago, then they can be sent into your community too. And this is the thing we need to be concerned about, alarmed about. Now, some people may think that, 20 federal agents is not anything to be alarmed about. But to me, it is alarming because it violates fundamental principles of the Constitution. Number one, it violates a citizen's right to defend his life, liberty, and property. Number two, it violates the sovereignty of the state of Illinois. Obviously, the state has jurisdiction for domestic issues such as these. Such authority was not granted to the central government, and therefore the feds should not be doing any such thing. And third, it violates the citizen's right to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, which are rights guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment, against unreasonable searches and seizures. And yet these gun control laws, they require the registrations of guns and ammunition, right? The FOID card we were just talking about. You have to have this firearm owner's ID card in order to have these guns. Well, basically that's gun registration and ammunition registration. And most alarming to me, Sam, is the fact that the citizens of Illinois seem willing to put up with this nonsense. They should be melting the phone lines to their public servants, demanding that gun ownership be respected and encouraged. Because as you and I both know, more guns means less crime. That's what we have learned over and over again. This is where citizens must support their local police and keep them independent from the control of the feds. Citizens, we've got to understand the proper role of government and then only elect and commission public servants who will adhere to that role. Government should not be guaranteeing security and welfare, but they should be guaranteeing liberty and opportunity.
Thank Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. According to a major report issued by the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, there's been an unprecedented number of leaks of sensitive information since the president took office. The report concludes there's been an average of one major leak a day. The leaks are likely coming from holdovers. The leakers are giving information to members of the media, and then they report it, even though some of it is said to be classified. Not only, some pundits say, is this endangering American lives, but it is also a violation of what some people say could be a violation of federal law. Remember when St. Louis increased the minimum wage to $10 an hour? That was a couple of years ago. Now that state's legislature has passed a bill to rock back the 10-hour and make it $7.70.
The governor says that he'll let the bill become law without his signature. The rollback would go into effect the end of next month. The increase in the minimum wage might read pretty good on paper, but it doesn't work in practice, so says the governor. Government imposes an arbitrary wage. Small businesses either have to cut hours or let people go. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source. WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, TheFreedomCoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Lowell Nelson is with us. We're talking about an absolute, in my opinion, complete 100% turnaround by the Donald. He said gun control is not the answer. We have a right to keep and bear arms, and he really ran on this idea that he was a friend to the gun owner, a friend to your self-defense. And he was going to overturn the policies and agendas of Barack Obama and others. He even literally referred to Chicago and said, hey, gun control is not the answer there. Now he turns right around, creates a new government program, literally spends a bunch of money, inserts federal government. I'm going to call them troops because I don't know what else to call them. They work for the BATF, but they're armed to the teeth. And they're literally going into Chicago and taking away guns for all kinds of reasons. Now, you're supposed to have the right to keep and bear arms, and that will not be infringed according to the supreme law. But they've got all kinds of violations of that on the federal level, but more violations of that on the state and local level in Chicago. Donald literally quadrupling down in a gun control agenda. And the mainstream press is covering it up. They're not talking about it at all. If they were going to hold the Donald accountable, this is one where a campaign promise, in my opinion, has been broken. And a complete different agenda is being laid out. Now, it's not something where it's already happening and, well, Donald hasn't been able to stop it yet, like immigration or something else, where it was already underway. This is literally a new thrust into Chicago initiative that has shocking, shocking concerns that it will end up being the new way to create federal cops. And to do this, literally all over the country. And whether Donald does it himself or whether he lets another president escalate the program, it'll all start with Donald Trump. This is disastrous, Lowell. No one's talking about this but Ron Paul and us and a few others, right?
That's right, Sam. Just last Monday, a week ago from today, 7 days ago, on the Liberty Report, Ron Paul discussed this very development. I listened to that show twice. It's just a 20-minute a show well worth your time, ladies and gentlemen, to listen to his Liberty Report on a daily basis. And he suggested, and remember, ladies and gentlemen, how prescient Ron Paul has been on other issues over the years. He predicted the dot-com bubble, predicted the housing bubble, he predicted the demise of the continuing demise of the dollar. I mean, all of these things and he's able to do so simply because he understands how money works. He understands monetary systems. Well, he also understands the nature of Congress. He understands the nature of government, that it tends to grow. He understands that it's hard to roll back socialism and welfareism once the government begins to give it to people. He understands all of this, and it was on his Liberty Report last Monday when he suggested that the U.S. government may, in the future, even send in the U.S. military and implement martial law in the name of fighting crime in America. And you have to, I mean, nothing in politics happens by chance. As long as I've lived, Sam, the more sure I am that nothing in politics is happens by chance. It's all planned. It's all a work of art, basically. It's the work of people trying to accomplish their objectives. And in this case, you have government meddling in Chicago to create a situation where guns and firearms and violence and crime skyrocket. And they do that because they want a problem. Government wants a problem to solve. That's the big government grows when they've got problems to solve because they can throw money and manpower at it. And in the process, they can deny your rights, they can make you less secure, and they can create an environment in which crime just thrives, because then they have a bigger problem to solve, and then they can throw more money at it, more manpower, and more control over you, the citizen. That's the big danger here, Sam. And they're ramping it up in Chicago, and I'm telling you that people, citizens in Chicago, citizens in the state of Illinois, need to rise up against this. They need to call their public servants on the carpet and say, no more. We don't want any more gun control. You should know, and just as I know, that more guns means less crime. Now, I'm not the only one saying this, Sam, and you aren't either. There's a gentleman named Robert Wenzel. And he was mentioned on Ron Paul's Liberty Report. I'd never heard of him before. Went and read up on him a little bit. Sounds like a really pretty good guy. And a few years ago, he put together a four-part plan to restore peace in Chicago. And like I say, this is years ago, 2013, I believe. This is not a new problem, folks. It's been brewing. It's been...
Now, what do we do with this, though? Because this is the, in my opinion... You know, Trump may do a lot of good. He may have done some good. You know what? I'm not going to deny any good that he's done. Okay. And I'm not, my goal is not to attack the Donald. But if this happens, we could literally destroy everything that we believe in. In other words, you could take away the Second Amendment instantly. You could literally call everything fake news and really let your favorite media guys. And I started this out by mentioning this at the top of the hour, you know, he acts like he's against the mainstream news, but yet those are the ones that surround him. Those are the ones that he goes to, that he talks to, that he fights with in this theatrical idea. He acts like he hates them, but yet the more they cover for him, the more behind the scenes he'll like them. And really what it'll mean is that they'll lock us all out and say we're all fake news, especially if we start ratcheting up that Donald's deceived us and played games here. Then he'll just turn that spigot, which everybody's been heralding is awesome against the mainstream press, he'll turn it on us and give them all a pass. And then what you'll have is a violation of the First Amendment, a violation of the Second Amendment, and then with asset forfeiture, we're just going right down the list. And what I'm saying to you is, under the guise, the smoke and mirrors of reality TV almost, we've literally let the Donald slide into there as the, quote, arch conservative, never accomplishing anything that he promised, really. Enough of it to keep the stupid people at bay, but those who research will get it. And then he'll literally ramrod this stuff through, and we'll have 10 times worse than Obama if we're not very careful, Lowell.
I stumbled onto an image, a cartoonist, way back in 2003, I believe it was. And this cartoonist had portrayed the U.S. Constitution. That was on the backdrop. And then on top of that, Constitution was a stamp, you know, a red stamp, where it's the kind of stamp where you ink, they may not have them nowadays, but they're really popular 20, 30 years ago. You would ink the rubber stamp on an ink pad, and then you would stamp that rubber stamp, you know, onto your piece of paper. And in red ink, written on top of the Constitution, were these words, void, where prohibited by law. Just, you know, it just typifies exactly what is going on right now, right here, today. You know, the Constitution is void where prohibited by law. When you've got all these laws which are not constitutional, but they seem to supersede the Constitution. And it is very alarming. I was talking about this Robert Wenzel. His four-part plan was really simple. He said, number one, halt tax collection on the South Side. Number two, legalize all drugs on the South Side, which would eliminate the turf wars, you know, the gangbangers that are always shooting up each other. And three, legalize all guns on the South Side. In other words, let homeowners and citizens protect themselves. And number four, eliminate the minimum wage law. And we'll get into that more deeply a little bit later in the show. What impact does minimum wage laws have on this on crime in Chicago? Well, it has a huge impact. And this was Robert Wenzel's four-part plan to restore peace to Chicago that he put forth 4 years ago, which I think was interesting. I mean, I think it's
interesting, but a lot of it I don't go for. But I get the
you
point.
And I may not agree 100% with Sam with Robert Wenzel's plan here, but I'm just saying that it should be a whole lot better than what's happening right now with the Trump sending in federal officials to help the local police enforce a gun control in Illinois. Now, I have two quotes that I lifted from an article or an interview that Robert Wenzel gave, because he's striking very close to the truth here. He says, number one, he says, all methods by which the government interferes with the general public are bad. I totally agree with him. And he goes on, he says, but I think gun control is a major concern, as is the requirement to register guns. Again, spot on. The right to carry arms wasn't put in the Constitution so that people could go on weekend duck hunting trips. It was put there so the common man would have a means to battle totalitarian government. Again, right on. If you study Mao, Hitler, and Stalin, you can easily see how they used gun controls to their advantage. Gun registration is one step away from gun control for a totalitarian dictator. Heaven forbid, but if a totalitarian ever finds himself in control of the United States, I don't want him to know anything about me, and especially what kinds of guns I have and how many guns I have.
Amen. Hold on just a second. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, back on your radio. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So this is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the things that Robert said was a good idea to do, and I agree with a couple of them. One of them, let's make sure that we don't outlaw guns for all kinds of strange, weird reasons. Let's let people have the God-given, inalienable right of self-defense. I call it the great equalizer. Or what I call guns oftentimes is rape me not, whatever you want to call them. But the other one is this minimum wage thing. And I think when we tamper with and manipulate the economy to where people can't make a living, or when people are forced to do certain things, that wreaks all kinds of havoc. And I know at some point people would believe that's not related, but I submit that it is, Lowell.
Well, I agree, Sam. I think a shallow thinker would believe in a minimum wage law because they think, well, minimum wage means that government is forcing employers to pay people more for the work they do, right? Well, it's a shallow thinker who believes that. And the reason I say it's a shallow thinker is because they simply haven't thought through what really happens in the marketplace. If you're a fast food owner, and the reason I use the fast food industry is simply, I could have chosen any other industry, I suppose, but they typically hire minimum wage people, people who don't have a lot of skills yet. You know, they're just getting in the job market, and they need to develop skills. So they typically take them on, and in many cases, these fast food franchises are able to provide a work experience for these young people, which helps them. It's a stepping stone to other bigger, better things. It's a good thing for them to have jobs. And so when the government comes along and makes a law, passes a law that says, okay, now you have to pay, you know, more than you were paying, you have to pay this minimum wage of $10 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever, well, the franchise owner has no choice but to cut his labor costs, because if he has five people and he's paying them all $10 an hour and now he has to pay him $15 an hour. Well, his labor cost was $50 an hour, you know, in total, right? And so now if he has to pay $15 an hour, he has to cut two of his people in order to pay the three remaining people $15 an hour. And so it hurts the service that he provides. It hurts the two people that he got cut, or are now not employed. And they are not able to find employment because every employer is affected by the same minimum wage law, and therefore they can't find work now. So, but then they look over their neighborhood and they see the drugs being sold and the handsome money that's being made by the drug dealers, and they think, heck, well, if I can't go work for some fast food franchise, maybe I should start selling drugs. Those guys look like they're doing well. They're driving the hot cars, the hot looking cars, the Suburbans with tinted glass. They've got, you know, they're decked out in nice clothes.
They even have the women.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And so it basically becomes an allure to attract people to that life of crime, that life of drug dealing, and so it exacerbates the problems in these cities to have minimum wage laws. Well, it seems like, and I was glad to hear that Dennis Daly on the Liberty News segment at the bottom of the hour, Sam, talk about the thing that Missouri is doing, because Missouri is, as reported on Liberty News just a moment ago by Dennis Daly, the state of Missouri is dropping the minimum wage from $10 an hour down to $7.70. Now, I think that's a move in the right direction. I would love to see the minimum law repealed entirely, because the real minimum wage is $0 per hour. That's what you find in a marketplace, in a free...
Yeah, by the way, $0 per hour means either you're fired or you're not hired.
But it allows people without skills to gain those skills by being paid what they're worth, right? If all you can produce is $5 an hour but you can't get hired anywhere, then you are not going to be advancing your skills, and you'll turn maybe to a life of crime instead. But if you're able to be hired at $5 an hour, and I will say parenthetically here, Sam, and I realize this was a long time ago, but I was paid $4.25 an hour in my first part-time job at college in 1981. And so, you know, I realize that was dollars then is not the same as dollars now, but that was a...
That brings up a whole nother deceptive hidden tax scenario via inflation. That's another problem eating away at all the wealth and fruits of the labors of Americans as well. And you can't ignore that piece either.
Good point.
So the problem is we go right on down the rabbit hole. But see, what I'd like to do as an employer is I'd like to make somebody's house payment or somebody's rent payment or, put together a food budget and give somebody a food gift card for working for me. And the reason that I would is because then I know their basic needs are met. Maybe I don't pay them enough per hour, but I can ensure that they have a roof over their head and food in their pantry. And maybe they don't get paid a lot, but I can take care of them in those ways. The problem is the taxation of today makes that impossible to do almost.
Not only that, Sam, but if I'm forced as an employer to pay $15 an hour instead of $10, or instead of what is a fair wage, that prevents me from offering other benefits, like you said, the benefit of maybe having your mortgage paid each month, or the benefit of sick leave when a person is sick, you know, the ability to take a few days off to get well, or maternity leave. I mean, that might be a benefit that I as employer want to give to my employees. But if I'm forced to give them to pay them $15 an hour instead of what it would be a fair wage that compensates them fairly for the work that they actually do, then that takes away from my ability to provide these other benefits, which
the question is, how much does stability play into it? Let's say that a husband works very seasonal work. And or he works construction, so it's a little bit boom or bust, or he has his own business, and some months he does really well, and other months he doesn't. And so his wife is going to work for me or something like that. And I say, you know, I really need someone to answer the phones for me from 8 to 5, but you know what? You're really not even that busy from 8 to 5 because the phones aren't ringing all day. But when they do, you got to answer it, and you're available to do that. I don't even mind if you do some accounting work for somebody else or maybe for me while you're doing this, you know, phone job. So I'm not going to pay you fully per hour. But I need someone there, and you may say, you know what, she's going to be home all day anyway, and she can do her accounting work. And between the two employers, she's doing accounting work. I know full well while she's working for me answering phones. Yeah, she gets interrupted from her accounting work a little bit, but I got someone there all the time, but only as the need arises. And I pay her, say, $3 an hour, and that other person's paying her, $7 an hour, just say, or $8 an hour, which is way below the 15 minimum wage. But between the two, she has $12 an hour, a job from home. Everybody's happy. But no, the government won't let that occur. Another example is I might say, you know what, I'm going to make your house payment every month. You're going to work for me probably a little more hour-wise than would justify what you're getting paid. But you know what, you're pretty much free. You can take this cell phone with you, and if you have to run to the store, no problem. If you need to get your kid down for a nap, no problem. I need you to answer this phone and or return calls. And so it's really not full time. You know, you're working every second. I might make their house payment and say, look, you know what? Your husband would love this stability here to have your house payment made every time because he's got this whatever work that's not as stable as would like. It's boom or bust a little bit. This kind of evens that out and provides stability for you. How much is all that worth? Working from home. Stability, where a wife can add stability income to the family, etc. It could be a win-win, but see, the government makes that all impossible to accomplish.
Right on, Sam. Great examples. The marketplace has the real answers, and it works to the benefit of both the employer and those he employs. Together, they can come up with the right benefit package, so to speak, the right compensation. And without government meddling in that situation, it becomes a win-win, both for the employer and the employees. And so I applaud what Missouri is doing. They're headed in the right direction, and I encourage every Missourian listening to this show and in surrounding states to call their public servants there in Missouri and compliment them for supporting this reduction in the minimum wage right there in Missouri.
And we do think they should get rid of the minimum wage entirely, but if they're going to lower it, good on them.
Absolutely. Great news story. You know, we don't always bring the sky is falling news here to this show, Sam. We actually bring good news once in a while, and this is a good news story.
All right, things are looking good for our buddy Judge Roy Moore in Alabama. They've done their best to shut this guy down, but the people love him, lol.
Isn't this a great story, Sam? You know, Brooks is, there's a U.S. House member, Mo Brooks, who did some internal polling, and it's been reported that Brooks' internal polling puts Moore in the lead, right? It puts his opponent in the lead. Well, just to bring everybody up to speed here, former Chief Justice Roy Moore, in the state of Alabama, he is very popular there because he was the Supreme Court judge who refused to remove a Ten Commandments monument from the Alabama Judicial Building. He also told judges throughout the state to continue to enforce the state's marriage laws, even though it conflicted with the Supreme Court decision. So he's very popular in the state. U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions left the Senate to become U.S. Attorney General, and so now they're filling his seat. And we've got Roy Moore there. We've got Mo Brooks looking for the seat. Luther Strange is another gentleman. And it turns out that Roy Moore is in the lead right now with 31% among likely voters, compared to 23% for Strange and 21% for Brooks. And so this is another great news story, Sam. I support Roy in his bid for the Senate, and I wish him well, and I hope that he wins.
Amen to that. You might as well, even though we can't cover it in detail, you might mention, we must declare independence. Ron Paul wrote an incredible column about this to celebrate Independence Day. And it's at ronpaulinstitute.org if you want to check that out. I wish we had time to cover it, but we don't. But at least you can be aware of it and go to it and read it. I'm just telling you right now, it makes you grateful for our country, sir.
Yeah, sure does, Sam. Thank you so much for letting me be on your show today.
Godspeed, my brother. There he goes. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk radio, always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. We declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.